Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, John tells us. It had not been a good weekend for the disciples. Jesus had been crucified, and in one way or another, each of them had betrayed the Lord. The guilt of narcissistic self-preservation weighed heavily on the men, and the shame of their cowardice was ever before them. Like scared rats, they crouched behind those locked doors in fear of the Romans who crucified Jesus, in fear of the Jews who insisted it happen, in fear of themselves and the evil they had proven themselves capable of, and worst of all, in fear of God's judgment, especially since there were now reports, eyewitnesses, in fact, that the one they betrayed had been resurrected from the dead. It was a toxic brew in that room, and no one knew this more than Peter. Three times he denied he even knew the one he said he'd follow to the grave, and one of those denials was to a little girl. His betrayal and cowardice sat high in his conscience, no doubt. Plus, he had actually seen the empty tomb, meaning if Jesus was in fact risen from the dead, then only judgment remained for him according to God's law. And then, like a thunderclap, horror of all horrors happened. Jesus came and stood among them. Confirmed were the worst fears of Peter and the other disciples. God Almighty stood before them, and the day of the Lord was upon them. Indeed, the resurrected Son of God, bearing the scars of their sin no less, had found them in their hiding place. What would he say to the God killers? What should he say to them? They were weighed in the balance and certainly found wanting. They had no excuse. All that remained was that terrifying waiting for the other shoe to drop and the verdict to be made known. Can you imagine the fear as their eyes met Jesus' eyes? They were literally before the judgment seat of God Almighty, and his mouth was now forming words about to be spoken, words about them. And then it began. A sermon broke out. Oh, what a sermon it was. Peace be with you, he said. Oh, what good news. Oh, what gospel. Jesus' words for Peter and all the rest, these words were not judgment, not condemnation, but mercy and forgiveness instead. And just like that, the dreaded day of the Lord, the judgment of the living and the dead, the settling of accounts was all behind them. With a four-word sermon promising the peace that results from the forgiveness of sin won by Jesus Christ, Peter and all the other disciples had been ushered into the last days, meaning there was nothing to fear from God, and they would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then Jesus did something truly amazing. He empowered and he commanded his sinful betrayers to go and to do likewise. He breathed the Holy Spirit on them, telling them to go and unlock the gates to the kingdom of heaven by preaching the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. So there is now mercy from God and peace. So we come to Pentecost, a Jewish festival that celebrates the wheat harvest. But even more, it celebrates the birthday of God's law. Jews from far and wide obediently followed the law's command to journey to Jerusalem and celebrate Torah. Now, God's law is a tricky thing. It is absolutely right and true. And the Jews are indeed honored to be its steward. But because God's law is right and true, it shows no mercy on both Jew and Gentile alike, because neither Jew nor Gentile are right and true. In fact, the fear of judgment created by God's law will drive you into an upper room with the doors locked. So it is beautiful that the one who was quite familiar with the guilt of betrayal, familiar with the shame of cowardice, familiar with the fear of judgment, this one would stand before the crowds gathered at Pentecost and in the power of the Holy Spirit boldly bring them before the judgment seat of Almighty God, before then unlocking the gates of heaven to them. It is unfortunate that our lectionary reading doesn't continue Peter's sermon. It goes like this. You killed Christ, he said. Nevertheless, the Father raised him from the dead, he continued. Now, stop arguing with God about what it all means and listen. Listen to his promise of mercy preached into the water used to baptize you, Peter concluded. And just like that, those hearing Peter's sermon were ushered into these last days. God's judgment was now behind them, and there was nothing to fear from God, and they would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, here we are, together in one place, with doors locked, for fear of whatever may be out there. Sound familiar? Indeed. There's another people group added to those present at that Pentecost celebration we hear about in Acts. They're called South Carolinians. How do you like that? And here comes a mighty rush of wind from the big mouth of a preacher with a tongue working overtime to speak English as plain and clear as possible so you have no problem hearing and understanding. There at the font, here around this altar and from this pulpit, knowing full well who you are and what you've done and left undone, knowing full well your fears and doubts, Jesus Christ has come for you. And so, by the authority of Jesus Christ and for his sake, I forgive you the entirety of your sin. There's your Pentecost sermon. Now, God's judgment is behind you because of Jesus. Now you have nothing to fear from God because of Jesus. Now you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of Jesus, the one who's for you. Amen.